drinking too much. Regular exercise at the gym, 3 days a week. Getting on better with your associates.
That's good, right? Yep, that's good. We are starting the show today with Fitter Happier from Radiohead, from OK Computer. And the reason we're playing is because we're talking about Companion today.
Yes.
And Companion is about a robot, and we have a robot talking.
Yep.
So that's a good enough connection.
I like it.
And it's really annoying me now with him talking behind me. Like, I just kinda...
Well, you should talk behind us the whole episode.
Should I just put it on a loop and...
Yeah.
I'm going to turn it down to this.
It's probably our least groovy intro song ever.
Yeah, because it's just a robot talking. Yeah. Okay, I'm putting it on loop. Okay.
Oh, no, please stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you need to make up your mind.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, chaps and chapettes.
Lads.
Lads and lasses.
Lass.
Okay. I almost said ladettes.
Yeah.
I was also thinking.
Welcome to... Watch This. I'm your host, Paul Klein. Sitting next to me on my left is also our host,
Alex Bello.
And sitting across from me is our host,
Stephanie Caplano, Italian Explosion.
Caplano!
No!
We made that yesterday. Especially
for this. We are so proud of ourselves. Oh, it's playing again. Oh, let's enjoy it again.
That's us, by the way, saying Caplano.
I need that to send for a family reunion.
Yes.
Anytime someone walks in the door, that's the doorbell.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And after all that, we have a special guest today.
Daniela Roque.
We have Daniela, who didn't wait for me to introduce her.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's fine.
She's itching to go and talk about Companion. Today we are talking about Companion, as I mentioned before, which is a movie that came out in theaters January 31st. Didn't make that much of a splash. I think the critical reception was higher than the money that it made. Like, I think it cost like $10 million, and then they said worldwide it made $36 million, which is not bad.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think they said that they spent about $30 million on advertising. That's bad, too, because that's a lot of money for advertising. But I think it's doing well on streaming. And no matter what money it made, what's more important is the movie itself. And I watched it yesterday by stealing Alex's Max subscription.
Yep.
You should have acted surprised. What?
What? Nonsense.
How did you get my login information? I watched it here at work, which is always a fun thing. Like when violence and things happen on your computer screen.
Nothing can be worse than last week's movie.
Than Toxic Avenger?
Yeah.
We're watching it at work?
Yeah.
That was your punishment. You should have watched it at home. You didn't. And so you had to watch it at work.
Yeah.
This wasn't as bad as that. But I was interrupted about 30 minutes in by a coworker. And he was like, do you want me to close the door? And I look at the screen and she's about to kill somebody. And I was like, yes, please close the door.
Yeah. That happened.
We don't want to want people to hearing all the murder that's going to be happening here. Set the scene, please.
So we have Iris, who is our main character, played by Sophie Thatcher. Which, by the way, I just want to get this out of the way now. Sophie Thatcher is incredible. And if I was a girl, I would take her hairstyle from this movie and I would go to my hairstylist and I would say, I want this. Because her hair looks really cool in the movie.
It's really funny that you say that, because after I watched this movie, I made her style my entire personality for like a week.
Yeah.
And I bought so much like Pink Gingham stuff because that was like her outfit.
Her getup.
Her getup in like that part of the movie. I was so obsessed. Sophie Thatcher is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love her.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
Me being a very surface kind of person, all I could do was stare at her snaggle tooth. It really upset me.
Does she have a
snaggle? Yeah.
I did not notice.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
It's a snaggle tooth. It upset me the whole time. And I was like, why do you have that? The same with the Luke, the guy who played the other robot. We're giving everything away. It doesn't matter.
Patrick.
Yeah.
But the actor's name is Luke something, isn't it?
I don't remember.
Okay. It's very professional. Yeah. Very professional podcast.
We know what we're talking about.
Let me.
Totally.
I'm going to bring up the IMDb page because I've seen him in. Oh, no, I haven't seen him. You've seen him because he was in the show that will not be mentioned in the speech lab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was in that first season.
The first season, apparently.
Yeah.
He's
also. There's also a really famous clip of him doing a audition on Zoom for a role. And it went viral because it was during quarantine while that was happening. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was the casting director had his mic unmuted, and he said to one of his coworkers that was also casting, he said, look at this guy's apartment. All these people, they're so broke. They live in these horrible, dingy apartments. I feel so bad for them. And he's like, oh yeah, you should give me the role and I won't have to live in this shitty apartment anymore. So that's all I know about that guy.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Yeah. Jack Quaid plays Josh. Iris is his girlfriend. They're going to spend the weekend with some friends.
I hate IMDb on a phone. just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and you don't get to the information. I'm sorry. Continue.
Possibility of an IMDb sponsor. Not that was happening.
I don't think we ever had that. I know IMDb is great, but on my phone, hey, you know, you need to do better.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Do better? Continue with the plot. I'm sorry.
Where was I?
Josh.
Staying at the friend's house owned by this Russian guy who's one of the friend's boyfriends in the middle of nowhere. In what they don't say what state they're in. Doesn't matter.
It was filmed in New York.
It was filmed in New York?
Yep.
Okay, so probably upstate New York or something like that. In the middle of nowhere. Cool mansion. And that's as far as I'm going to go for now until...
Lucas Gage.
Oh, Lucas Gage. That's the name of the actor? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was wrong with Lucas Gage that was bothering you?
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Yeah. That was good. That's good that you caught on to that.
I'm on fire.
He has a scar on his upper lip and I couldn't stop not looking at it.
Oh.
I couldn't stop looking at it. Yeah.
Oh, what's he supposed to do?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Snaggletooth is fine too.
Snaggletooth is great. I'm a big fan.
I'm not. I'm awful where I'm just, is for people in movies because they're on a screen. They're right in front of us and they're much bigger than they should be. I notice what we would say, quote unquote, imperfections.
Huh.
And I cannot let them go. She's beautiful, though. And she's great in the movie.
I want to apologize to all our Snaggletooth listeners here.
Yeah.
For Paul.
As you should. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I'm not apologizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool, man.
I know it's not cool. I'm just being honest.
Okay, fair.
I was looking at it like the first time. I was just like, she's not hot because she has a Snaggletooth.
Is that what you said?
That's how I said it.
Oh. That's disappointing. I disagree with you.
It was really weird because I was by myself.
Disagree. Yeah, I strongly disagree.
I was in my office. That's fine. I don't want people to agree with me on this one. This is me.
I actually have a fun fact. So we were talking about the song Goo Goo or by the Goo Goo Dolls earlier, Iris.
Yeah. Yes.
When they played that song, it was because Jack Quaid's mom, when she was in City of Angels, like that was like the
Jack Quaid's mom being Meg Ryan, famous actress.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, she was in City of Angels, which is where the song is from.
Where they played the song.
Yes.
So I thought that was cool that they had a bunch of different references like in the movie.
Say several references because the song, of course, is called Iris and she's Iris and it's playing when she comes in.
Yeah. There's a couple other references that they had, but I can't talk about that right now because I'll spoil it.
Will you spoil it though?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find like the way into this movie. How do we get into this movie? Where do we start?
All right, so I think the most important thing is when they first get to the house, there's just a really weird vibe where everybody's just being, like, oddly nice to her, but, like, it's not normal. And then...
like a very polite nice.
It's like a very polite nice. Yeah. But then he's also like, oh, she's so worried that the friends aren't going to like her.
Mm.
And the one girl seems to not actually like her. I forget her name.
Cat.
Yeah, she just seems like such a... she's such a bitch.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but...
Oh, my gosh. Where is the... Hold on. We gotta censor the...
Censor me.
Yeah.
Wait, say it again.
Bitch.
Oh, that didn't work.
Come on.
The bleep did nothing.
Yeah.
Let's just keep trying.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Bitch. Yeah. Yeah.
One last time. 3, 2, 1.
Bitch.
I didn't push it.
Wow.
But yeah, she just seems like... yeah, she seems like a binge watcher. And... You saw my callback.
That was good. That was good. Yes.
And so what else is happening? The one friend is cooking for everybody.
Okay. So what I found interesting about it is I was trying very hard not to know what the movie is about. So it was kind of cool for me because like, I never watched The Traitors because I think the first thing I heard about this movie was like Jack Quaid saying like, please don't watch the trailer. You know, like they give everything away. And the poster does show, you know, that she has white eyes and kind of gives away that she's a robot of some sort.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, they spoiled everything. What was nice was that, like, there's still a lot of things a lot of surprises along the way. And what is good about the movie, the pacing is really good and how they dole out the information. I think we talked about Monkey Man.
Was it Monkey Man? Yeah.
And how it has that problem where a lot of movies these days have these obvious plot twists or obvious pieces of information that they keep hiding from you, but they keep cutting to it like throughout the movie. And then when they finally get to it, it's like, yeah, I figured this out an hour ago.
Yeah.
What I liked about this movie was that like they're giving you a lot of subtle hints. Right. But they tell you like pretty early. I mean, it's 24, 28 minutes into the movie before they kind of tell you like when he sits her down and he ties her to a chair and tells her you're a robot. But so what I liked about that was that whole opening, since I didn't really know what was happening, I was catching on, you know? And so it was right in that moment where you're like, because the question to me wasn't, is she a robot? The question was, do the other people know? What do they know? Do they know these things exist? Does Jack Quaid know? You know, is she insinuating herself into the life? And So all that context was missing, but I liked how they were kind of giving you all the little clues to it as you're watching it. She's not eating. She doesn't eat anything. Mm-hmm. That whole conversation she has with Kat, you know, when they kind of, because she thinks Kat hates her. And Kat's sort of like, she was like, well, I'm afraid you're gonna replace me. You know, what's the point of me? Are you going to replace me? And then she herself says, she's like, I'm just not built like that. You know, yeah. And they kind of, you know, all these moments where, you know, and then she'll say things and they all kind of give each other this look, this knowing look, but nobody will say the thing. And so I liked that it didn't take that long. Like, it was enough buildup, but then to kind of be like, here's the thing, and not have the whole movie just be about that one thing, but that one reveal, it's everything that comes after is actually more interesting. After that. So that was kind of my impression of the opening of the movie. What did you guys, so as it started, when you all saw it, did you know what the setup was? Did you know a lot about the movie? Like, Daniela, did you see the trailer for the movie before you saw it?
I did.
Uh-huh.
And I watched it the day before, I believe Stephanie said, don't watch the trailer. Because it was actually because my parents wanted to see a movie and they're just like, what's in theaters now? And like, the trailer was there and I saw it. Although the trailer didn't give much away.
What does it show, actually?
Trying to remember what it shows. It just shows, it implies that there's something violent happening. And it implies that she's not normal.
Human.
Yeah. Even if people can't catch on that she's not human, they know that something's different about her. So I assumed from the get-go that she was a robot just because of the title and the poster. The poster and with the title just gave me the impression that, oh, it's about like a robot companion.
Yeah, the poster a little too obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you saw it and then, and your impression. So you kind of knew, you had an idea. Mm-hmm. Any surprises for you as you were watching it?
So very similar to what you said, I do love the buildup of the movie because for a second, I did not realize that she didn't know she was a robot.
Right. Yeah.
And it got me thinking, like, wait, can robots be self-aware? And apparently they can.
I think that's the argument the movie makes.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. And I also noticed that, yeah, I really liked the buildup of the movie. There were a lot of instances where even though it wasn't necessarily like a jump scare, it did catch me by surprise. And
a specific moment or
just like there was a specific moment, but I feel like I should talk about it later.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Stephanie, what was your impression as the movie began?
So
how much did you know before you saw it?
I didn't know anything before I saw it.
Why'd you choose to see it?
Cause I saw the title card in theaters, like as like the little mini trailers that they show before. And I saw what she was wearing and I really, really liked the aesthetic of the movie and like that kind of vibe of it. And I just thought it was cool.
I'm giving you side eye and you're not returning it.
Well, I didn't want to be rude. I don't know why you were giving side eye.
The whole point is to be rude.
I noticed the side eye, but obviously I'm not at your side, so I couldn't give a side eye.
I'll give you forward eye.
Forward eye.
I could feel the side eye, but I didn't want to.
No, because I think Daniela would have agreed. But like, I think us as dudes, I think we would have to side eye and be like,
I actually saw,
and I'm taking it out of context, but like when you first said it, it was just like, and I saw the pink gingham. That's why I wanted to see the movie.
Actually, I thought it was cute at first, and then when I watched the movie, it wasn't cute anymore. And I'll explain why when I talk about.
Well, usually when things are covered in blood.
Not just that, but but there's a reason I find it not cute anymore. Yes.
And that'll be the I think it's kind of the build up what we're building to is the ultimate reveal of what this movie actually is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just about robots. Yeah. Alejandro. You saw it. You saw it in theaters. Stephanie.
Did you have something else
Stephanie
to say?
Didn't finish. Yeah. Stephanie didn't finish. She lifted her hands in disgust. And Stephanie, please finish your thought.
Okay.
So. But it's not really that important.
Wow.
What button are you looking for, Alex?
Shh.
There we go.
Yeah.
That was worth the wait.
Yeah.
You're like, hold on.
Finish your thought.
I watched it because of very surface level reasons. Yes. I thought like the font, like I thought it was going to be like
the font.
Like, it was literally like the font of the title card.
The graphic design.
Like how she was dressed. Like I thought it was going to be like a really cool vibe of a movie.
Yeah.
So I watched it because of that. I didn't watch any trailers or anything like that because you told me not to, Paul, because that's what Jack Quaid had said. So I didn't watch anything.
I did something good.
Yeah. Hey. So I went in like completely not knowing. I thought that he was going to cheat on her with Kat. I thought that's what the movie was going to be about. So I was like fully prepared to hate Kat.
Was there a hint to you without knowing anything that this was a sci-fi?
No.
Okay.
I did not know at all that it was going to be like sci-fi, that it was going to be anything like that. I thought she was just going to like go crazy from jealousy or something like that. So then when it did the big reveal, I was shocked. German knew the whole time. I like looked at him next to me in the theater and I was like, what? And he's like, shut up. I knew this already. So I was like freaking out. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
That's very cool.
So like the whole movie, I was just sitting there. I was like, no way, no way. What? Yeah. So that was me.
Excellent. Excellent. Alejandro?
So I saw the trailer for this movie before Nosferatu in theaters. And
is that a name drop? It's not a very name droppy.
What do you mean?
When I saw Nosferatu.
I ran into my buddy Nosferatu at the theater.
No. What movie are you watching, Alex? Do you want to see Companion?
No, but I saw the trailer in theaters, and I remember thinking, I was like, okay, this looks cool. Sophie Thatcher's in it, so I'm going to watch it. But
I've never heard of her before. Where is she from?
She's in Yellow Jackets.
And Maxine.
Oh, right. Yes, I saw that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, like I'm definitely going to watch this. But I was upset because I felt like the trailer gave a lot away because I could tell already that something was up with her. Mm. And then because I remember distinctly in the trailer, they show the scene where her hand is over the flame.
Oh, that's dumb.
And it catches on fire. And then you see the fire running up her arm. And
I forgot that from the trailer.
And that was they showed a lot of that portion in the trailer. And I was like, okay, so this girl is not human. Like, and you can see like the, you know, under her skin, like something like metallic. So I'm like, okay. And then I read the synopsis because I looked it up after I was curious. I was like, oh, this looks cool. And it's from the guy, forget the director's name. Zach,
I'm on it.
No, not Zach.
Oh, Zach Cregger is the guy
Zach
who Cregger's produced
doing
it.
Weapons, yeah.
Yeah. Weapons?
Yeah, that's his new movie that's coming out, Weapons.
Oh, okay. But what was his
Barbarian.
There you go.
Maybe Josh something. I don't remember the guy's name. Regular white guy name was the guy that directed it.
Yeah. I'll tell you in a second.
Very professional over here at Watch.
We'll
this.
Edit it. It's fine.
No, we won't.
We're gonna leave it in. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think we should just refer to him as that regular white guy name.
Drew Hancock.
Drew Hancock.
Drew Hancock. He has a very founding father's name.
Yep. Yeah.
Very much so.
Drew. He was one of the guys. That
oh, you know him.
Yeah.
You know him personally?
First name basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys hang out.
Yeah. Me and Drew. Hancock. We go way back.
DH.
Yeah. DH. We go way back, and he was one of the guys that worked on Barbarian, and I was like, well, I like Barbarian. I'm going to see this.
What did he do on Barbarian? Because I thought he wrote Barbarian. He did not.
I think he was a producer.
He was a producer on it?
He was a producer on Barbarian and then directed this, and then Zach Cregger produced it. I mean,
going to direct it, and he suggested DH direct it.
Yeah, because Zach Cregger is working on Weapons, which we'll probably talk about at some point in the future. Am I boring you, Stephanie?
No.
Oh. I thought you were yawning. Where was I?
What happened? Did you burp? What happened?
No. She's like, don't worry about it.
I was going to sneeze and it turned into a yawn. It was like a weird thing. I don't know what
sneezes
happened.
Sneezes don't turn into yawns.
I was like, it was like, it like both happened at the same time. And I was hoping no one was going to notice.
And so, then we all looked at you.
And then everyone just looked right at me.
We ground the podcast to a halt.
Yeah. I didn't even mean to notice. I just happened to look
went
in the
like
direction.
This, I turned back and all eyes are on me.
It looked like you were disgusted by what Alex was saying. Yeah. Like, you're like, this guy is talking.
I was like scared I was going to sneeze. So I turned this way. I was going to try and do it quietly. And then I yawned.
This is me because I'm an asshole. So when I see other people doing things, I immediately think they're doing something asshole.
Yeah.
It was just snotting.
Snotting. I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah. But I wanted to say, I thought the first, like I read the synopsis because I knew it was going to happen, but I still thought those first 25 minutes were like the best part of the movie. Like those first 25 were my favorite. When you're at the house, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You know something's off. Mm-hmm. And then they're talking about the stories of how they met their significant other and nothing seems okay. And I'm sorry. And like this might sound really bad, but the gay couple, the guy, they did not look like they should be dating.
My first thought was that guy's too hot to be dating the fat guy.
That was my thought. Yeah. I was like, this guy's way too handsome to be dating the.
I can say it. I'm fat. So it's like, okay. So the fat guy whose fashion taste was really questionable. What was with that, like that netted undershirt
I don't
that
know.
He was wearing? That really upset me.
You should get one of those.
No,
where
no, I should not. That really upset me. Like, I kept looking at it going, why?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but you're right. It makes you kind of go, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love the sequence where they're all dancing at the house and
with,
then...
With a great song in the background that I was going to start the podcast with, but somebody didn't give me enough...
a validation.
Yeah, jubilation.
Yeah.
My choice enough jubilation for me to actually play it. I think we started with a better song, though, but
yeah,
that was based on your idea. Stephanie wants to say something. Stephanie.
Sorry, I was going to say I have another fun fact.
Go for it.
I forgot the fat guy's name.
Eli.
Eli. So Eli was in a show called What We Do in the Shadows.
Right, that's where I know him from.
And there was a part in the movie where, like, in the sequence of how they met, he was dressed up like a vampire.
Yes.
Like, sort of like referencing to his costume that he wore.
The boyfriend was wearing the guy with the
Eli was wearing the dinosaur.
Well, yes. they switched it at some point.
Yeah, they did.
No, because then Jack Quaid wears it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he alters the robot memory of how they met, and then he thinks he thinks he met
Josh.
It is
connected. It is connected.
There is a connection there. Yes. Like, there's so many different references that they do with all the different movies that these actors have been in. They reference it in some way.
Or just like sci-fi movies in general. Mm-hmm. Like the one Lucas Gage that we're talking about, his name is Patrick, which was based on a Robert Patrick who played the T-1000 in Terminator 2.
Hell yeah.
I would not have put that together. Yeah. IMDb, thank you. IMDb, the best website on the internet.
Please sponsor us.
Yeah. Please sponsor us. But change your phone. Honestly, it's not very good. Oh, sorry. We're talking about the movie. I think we're all in agreement. 24 minutes in. It's a great setup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like how it's almost like Sixth Sense, where like they're putting it right in front of your face and daring you to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even when you sort of know what's going on, like, you still don't quite catch it. You know, like when he's like, "What, you know, do that thing you do. What's the weather?" And then she goes into the monotone and says the weather. And then you're like, "Oh no, that wasn't the-." Like, you think it's a joke between them.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he even says, he's like, "Oh, I love it when you do that," you know, like, or it never gets old, I think he says.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's right in front of your face, but you still, so it's clear that he knows, you know, but not everything is just kind of, you know, it's all kind of laid bare just a few minutes later. So I like that build up to it. And I like the fact that they didn't just drag it on forever. And then they kind of, because what happens, the reason why movies drag these things on, I think, is because they don't have much story to tell. And so you just kind of drag it out, and then you kind of go, "Ooh, what a big reveal." And so it kind of felt to me like when they revealed it 24 minutes in, and we're 24 minutes into this podcast.
Bang. Nice.
We're going to play the whole thing. That's good. when they actually revealed it, I was like, "Oh, cool. Where are you going to go now?" And that's when I made a face when you were sort of like, the best part was the opening, even though I think I know exactly what you're saying. I like the fact that it was trying to go somewhere after that, and it wasn't just all set up with just like a little bit of a denouement.
Nice.
That's good, right?
That was good.
Yeah, we should put a sound effect. Like, hum, hum, hum.
No, we shouldn't.
We shouldn't. No,
that'd be horrible.
I think we should do it still. Anyway, now the movie turns into a thriller, a chasey thriller. I kind of wanted to point out, what really surprised me about the movie was how damn funny it was.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a comedy than people may give it credit for.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when she gets a hold of the phone that has all of her settings on it and starts messing with it, changing her eye color, things like that. I was like, that's brilliant. I thought that was really clever. Then she puts her intelligence to 100 and starts thinking about how she can get out of the situation, and you sort of... see.
And I remember watching it, and I saw the original setting, which was 40%.
Yeah, there's 40.
And I remember thinking, that's actually diabolical.
Yes,
and I want to bring that up a little bit later into when I discuss the theming, but I remember that was one of the most surprising things in the movie for me. So I'm like, wow, 40%?
But even she's like, fucking Josh. Yeah, I like kind of where it went after that. If I sort of see a slight flaw in the movie, and I don't really think it's a major flaw, but there was a slight feeling for me of like, oh, is this all the movie is? You know, like, is this it would have been cool for them to maybe go just even crazier with that. Like, once she got that phone and she had all these different settings, I thought she's going to like make herself like martial artist or something and kind of go crazy with it. But maybe we should give the movie credit for being a little more, not subtle, but kind of not, like, holding back a little bit. Maybe just didn't want to go that crazy. It might have just kind of gotten in the way of the message, which I think we're at that time where we can start talking about what the movie is really about, because, like, the best sci-fi, it uses sci-fi for us to actually reflect back you know, our own realities to us. And because we're looking at through that lens of sci-fi, we're not so attached to it or so close that it lets us sort of see the thing that it's actually talking about a little more clearly and lets us kind of emotionally engage with it a little more. And I mean, this movie is about relationships. Toxic relationships, I think is fair to say. Because a lot of the things that, what was his name, Josh?
Josh.
Yeah.
The things that Josh does is under the excuse of, well, she's just a robot. I can treat her this way. Mm-hmm. But I think we know many people who have been in toxic relationships where people treat the other, their significant other as an object, as something that they own, and put their own deficiencies, like they project them onto the other person and yeah. blame them for everything. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it alone as the white man who is basically the Josh character. I will allow the rest of you all to take over on that.
Should I? Are you looking at me?
I was looking at the ladies. Yeah. Daniel's about to erupt.
I'm about to. I'm gonna play. I have Van a Halen. Lot of notes. So, of course, definitely about toxic relationships. There's the element of control and, you know, dependency with the robot, the robots, because since they're basically programmed to, however, the person who owns them.
Yep. To love them and be obsessed with them.
Yes, and there's also themes of resistance, like resisting mm-hmm. that. And another thing I noticed is this could definitely be applied to women specifically.
Yes.
We see the juxtaposition between the way Iris is treated versus Patrick.
Okay.
So Iris, as we discussed earlier, her intelligence is set to 40%. She doesn't even know she's a robot. Her controls where she can act out and retaliate are like all the way down, if I recall correctly, or very, very low at probably, the very least.
I would imagine.
So she doesn't fight back to anything. I believe Josh himself calls her like a fuckbot.
Oh, yeah. Several times.
Several times. Yeah. So he only sees her for sex and to do whatever he wants. And I definitely see that connection with how many men view women in real life,
mm-hmm.
how they want them to just be used for that purpose. And even in the aesthetics of the movie, which is talking about why I don't like the aesthetics, is because it has a 50s aesthetic for Iris's character. Even when yes. they first meet in the supermarket, yep. the way she's dressed, the way the supermarket mm-hmm. is set up, it's a domestic yep. sort of interaction
mm-hmm.
compared to Patrick, who settings aren't like that, and they met at a party. That's a normal way mm-hmm. to meet someone.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the way that they met, she's in a role where she's fulfilling a fantasy for Josh, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that definitely translates in real life.
And rather than appreciate it, he treats her like an accessory.
Exactly.
Who is embarrassing when she doesn't, you know, quote unquote embarrassing when she doesn't, when she's mopey. Like there's a whole big mm-hmm. thing about, you know, saying like, yeah, don't be mopey, pretend to be happy. Yeah. Everything will be good.
And there's the scene near the end where it's like reminiscent of domestic violence
mm-hmm.
in a way
mm-hmm.
because of the way he's disgustingly handling her and he's admit it, say that, you're nothing without me. I forgot the exact words.
Yes.
But.
And he's like, even if I know it's not true, I just have to hear you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I definitely see a lot of parallels.
Mm-hmm. Stefania?
Actually, speaking of the grocery scene, that's a direct reference to The Stepford Wives.
Right.
Which I thought was really interesting because that's another movie that has these same themes.
The domesticated robot women.
Yeah. Where it's like these people like need to have like full control and like manipulation over these other people to feel like they're something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was really interested in how that evolved throughout the movie. Cause at first it was like, okay, that's a little weird. Okay, that doesn't seem right. Okay, why would he say that to her? And then as the movie goes on, it's more like, oh, this guy's an asshole.
Yeah, he's just a full-on asshole.
This guy's just the worst. And then we get to the end where he has that full-on, like...
Meltdown.
And just, like, we see him for who he, like, really is.
Yeah.
Which I had never seen Jack Quaid in that type of character before.
He was extremely intimidating in this role.
He plays this type of character extremely well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost too realistic.
I mean, it's a spoiler, but I mean, like, in Scream, he kind of does that dichotomy also, because he starts off as a nice boyfriend, but then he is the killer.
See, I'm so used to him.
Him and Anora are the killer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it's the same actress.
I'm so used to him being like this like fun loving like nebbish, goofy like yeah. kind of guy. So when I saw him in this role, I was expecting him to be the same like fun loving goofy guy. Oh. And when he changed, I was like shocked. I was like, holy crap. So I really like how they did it, because that's kind of how toxic relationships usually pan out. It's like
the nice guy who ends up.
It's this nice guy who, you know, you love him and everything. And then eventually you're like, okay, he shouldn't say that.
Right.
He shouldn't do that. Oh, this guy is awful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So no, they did it really well.
I think the moment, like, when he finishes having sex with her, when he's like, good night, Iris.
just croaks over.
Yeah, just croaks over. And I was just like, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Which is her turn off. Phrase, yes. By the way.
Were her eyes closed when he said that? Because I was wondering why we didn't see her eyes turn white like they did later. I wonder how they actually, I can't remember how the scene played out. Like I would hope they were smart enough to have her eyes closed so you wouldn't see the white, you know, like, so that would be consistency.
I think she just kind of closed her eyes when he said it. I'm not sure. But I thought it was interesting how like he said those cute phrases, but those phrases are her control phrases.
Her control phrases, yes.
So it gives them like a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
Those phrases carry like venom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This movie reminded me a lot of a movie that came out, I believe it was 2022,
2023. I want to take a guess at which one it is.
Yeah.
The Invisible Man?
No.
Oh.
I love that. I love that movie.
A lot of that reminded me of the Invisible
Elizabeth
Man.
Elizabeth Moss, right?
Yes.
I love that movie, yes.
Sorry.
No, you're good. The movie I was going to say that it reminded me of is Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh,
the movie that Olivia Wilde made with Harry Styles
and
Chris Pine and Florence Pugh. And that movie follows a very... Huh?
Hmm?
Oh, because Pugh? I don't think she smells... I don't believe so. Yeah, I don't believe so. I've never heard that about Florence.
Well, it's in her name.
It was good.
Thank you.
And it follows a very similar thing where you see these what's basically a loser guy. I mean, Josh is a loser.
He's a loser.
He's a loser.
He's lame.
He can't get women, so he buys a robot. That he's a loser,
and then he hates her for it.
And
he was leasing her.
Yeah,
he can't even afford her. Like buy her.
He's borrowing.
Yeah,
the rental.
Yeah, he lives in like a little tiny apartment.
I would not want that robot after Jack had it, or Josh.
Yeah, hell nah.
And he goes from like the nice guy, and like I know these guys, like I've met these guys before, where he's like the like too nice guy.
The ones who refer to themselves as the nice guy.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy. Oh, why do girls not like me? I'm so nice.
Yeah.
And then they end up being a total piece of shit. And you know exactly why girls don't like him.
Exactly.
And they just feel bad for themselves. But in Don't Worry, Darling, they follow a very similar thing where you see all these like very happy couples living in this like sort of dystopian, like Bel Air 50s style town in California. And then you end up finding out that the guy who's leading this town, which is played by Chris Pine, who's also like this super nice, like cool guy, and ends up being a monster like all the other husbands of the wives in the movie, they're all guys who are like losers. And they created Chris Pine's character created like a simulation world that guys can place themselves in while like on like an IV that's like feeding them and keeping them like alive.
Oh.
And they go in this world and they live a simulated life with these women that they kidnap and force to be, they literally tie them to the bed and put them in this simulation. So they are like basically living a perfect life in this simulation. And then it's just a bunch of loser guys who don't even shower, and they leave the simulation every now and then to, you know, go take part of their regular life. And then they come back and live in the simulation. And it reminded me a lot of that, because it starts off super pretty 50s aesthetic and then turns into a bunch of losers that are just controlling women.
Chris Pine is a loser in this movie?
Chris Pine is a loser.
Hard to believe.
But the thing is, they're not as handsome in real life and put together.
Do they have other people playing them, or is like Chris Pine like...
No, it's Chris Pine. Well, you don't see Chris Pine's character. The only one that you see outside of the simulation is Harry Styles, and he just looks like shit outside of the simulation. And in the simulation, he's got like this nice tailored suit. He looks like Harry Styles, but outside, he just looks like he doesn't shower.
He has no style.
He's just Harry.
Thank you. Even better.
Yeah. So yeah, it reminded me a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie, you don't really see it coming either. And in this one, you see it coming, but it's set up in a way where the setup is for the sake of being able to tell the story that comes after. So I thought it was really good. And like you said, he was super intimidating, like especially towards the end.
Because he has all the power.
Yeah.
You know, like I laughed. Okay, there was two things I wanted to say. Also, in the comedic thing we were talking about, like the way they would the mise-en-scene, the way things were set up in the shot, right? Like, I love when he tells her, like, obviously not I didn't love that he told her to do it, but like when she has her hand in, as you mentioned, in the over the candle, and she's in the background, he's in focus and she's out of focus, and you see her hand over the candle and then suddenly just catches fire.
Yeah,
completely. Just the over the topness of that made me laugh, and I think you were supposed to laugh at how ludicrous that was. The judgmental faces from people in this room right now makes me think that maybe I wasn't supposed to laugh, but it was funny. The other thing, actually, wait, did you want to say anything to that?
I have to use the restroom.
Oh, go for it. I'll play elevator music while you're gone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a cutoff.
Not when I'm talking, unfortunately. You just jump in there.
Yeah.
You like, gave it to me and I was like, oh, opportunity.
Oh, bathroom time. We should talk about the fact that you know, when I described myself as Phil, Josh,
yeah.
Josh.
Where did Phil come from?
I don't know why somebody putting a P on there.
We're just throwing white guy names.
Yeah, it's white guy names.
Yeah.
We're going to throw in
I'm projecting myself
Chris.
Onto him.
We're going to throw in a Chris eventually.
But I think we should maybe talk about the fact that just now when I was telling this whole thing and I was so proud of this, how funny this moment was, and then you guys were not reacting and... it turns out there were completely different reasons for not reacting. It was you had to go make a pee-pee, and Daniela was zoning out, and I took it personally. Like I was like, oh shit, they're judging me. Like they're saying,
no.
So you see how I projected my own insecurities onto you guys when all you had to do was go to the bathroom and you were just zoning out.
Yeah, because I was just like,
I'm a very
do better
boring. Bro. I gotta do better.
I didn't really find that scene funny, but just because I was so terrified.
I was terrified of him.
It's I don't know how to put it. Like it's that sort of like cartoon humor where it just suddenly it just suddenly escalates. You know, like it's
like catches you off guard.
Yeah, like and maybe. Just the fact that she was out of focus and you just sort of see this big fire, this flame kind of shoot up, and you're like. This just got so much worse.
I was too distracted by how terrified I was of that guy to find anything he did funny. Like, not even just that, like, anything. Like, because even before that, like, he went kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Even before that, when he was plotting, you know, with the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just like, fuck, just Even then, I was like, oh, I know exactly what. Kind of guy
the nice guy who suddenly loses their shit.
I know exactly
and you see who they are.
What you are.
Yeah, nobody's that nice.
Nobody is that nice. And usually when they say that, they say, I'm nice, therefore I'm entitled to something.
Exactly. And that was his whole thing. He's like, I'm entitled to this. This is basically owed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm deserving of, this.
I'm a young white guy and I deserve this.
Yes, yeah. And Josh. Then...
whose name is Josh,
whose
not
name
Phil.
Is and can I just say, the name Josh like fits him so well.
Yeah, he's a Josh.
He's such a Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one thing he did. Again, there's these little moments throughout the movie, but I love the fact that they don't bring attention to it. You just have to catch it. When he's telling her that she's a robot, he goes, you know, I know it's a lot to process. And he kind of stops and smiles to himself. Like, he's just like, I'm so clever. I just did a pun. It makes me laugh every time.
That's such a nice guy thing to do.
Right. But again, like process. She's a robot.
Yeah.
Processing.
It's like, get it? He thinks he's so funny. Yeah. He thinks so highly of himself.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but speaking of funny, there was something actually really funny in the movie.
Really funny? As in saying that what I was saying was not funny?
Oh, no. I just thought that this was actually also very funny.
That did not
clarify. Don't project, Paul. Don't project.
Yeah, you're projecting. Even on the men, he's projecting.
Not equal opportunity.
You're just overthinking now.
I know.
When you find out that the Russian guy was just like a sod farmer and he wasn't actually a gangster.
He's like, I get my hands dirty.
Yeah.
He was such so a clever. Cartoon.
Yeah, that was so good. He was also really gross and creepy.
He had that weird haircut.
Tried to
mullet.
Assault.
Yeah, he had like a mullet, but it was like shaved in at the sides and it was awful.
And he tried to rape her.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
And then literally right before.
Well, he thinks she's a fuckbot.
Yeah. So he thinks
which doesn't excuse
it. Yeah, he thinks he's. He doesn't count it as that.
Yeah.
Because he thinks, oh, she's not a real person.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's kind of cool about the movie is that, you know, a lot of sci-fi when it involves androids and robots and things like that, it's always like, are you human? What does it mean to be human? And this movie, I think, basically posits they're like, they feel something, they're human. You know what I mean? Like, they're deserving of respect and autonomy.
Yeah, and we could definitely see those parallels with other types of women that people think like, oh, you can't rape this type of woman. Like, for example, a sex worker. There are a lot of men who think can't rape a sex worker.
It's interesting you mentioned that because I was thinking about that, that it's like that would be the attitude that men have with a sex worker is that like, well, they get paid to
they
do
get
this.
They get paid so, for it. Yeah. Therefore, I can
do what
treat
I want.
Her yep. however I want. I could treat her yep. like property and yep. like she's not human.
Yeah. And I think as far as the movie basically arguing for her autonomy, what's interesting is that she breaks her own programming because she's programmed to love him. And as far as I remember, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like she stops loving him or, you know, she starts to hate him, not because she does anything with the phone. It's just his actions and the way he behaves.
Yeah.
It sort of breaks the programming, which seems to suggest, you know, when they're always saying, well, you just programmed to do that. Well, if she can break that programming, then obviously she's not just programmed to do something. And that's how she kind of gets Lucas Gage. Was he Phil?
No.
Patrick.
It's a P name.
Close enough.
You know, like how she gets him to sort of realize, to remember the original boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know
Eli.
What I mean? Like,
yeah,
with Eli. Daniela is great with names.
Yes,
like,
I am.
And we're terrible.
I saw this movie in March.
You didn't go to IMDb? You remember the names?
Yeah, I remember the names. I didn't look at any
what
of the
fuck?
That's fantastic.
I remember a lot of things.
Wow. That's crazy. Speaking of Patrick, he ultimately starts weaponizing another guy to hunt her down, who's also a robot, but Josh uses the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be able to hunt her down, which was kind of like,
he can't do it himself.
Yeah, like, come on, bro, support me. Like, this
yeah,
was
like,
crazy.
Like, bro code, bro code.
Bro code.
He pretends to be gay for this robot so that he will support him. Yeah,
yeah, yes, yeah.
Not cool.
Not cool,
dude. Oh, this is a cool, like, new foray in the horror genre of, like, AI. Like, with AI evolving, we're starting to see more horror movies that like use this as like AI relationships, like dating robots. I've seen a lot of like things like this or adjacent in like recent years that I feel like you didn't see maybe as much.
It's on our mind. It's reflecting the cultural anxiety.
Yeah.
Like it sort of seems to be around the corner.
I could definitely see something like this like existing, like robots that people date. I mean, like the movie Her did like a similar thing in a different way, but.
Much sweeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually a famous article that people use as a meme all the time. It's like, it was in 2015. It was published in 2015. It says, in 10 years, people will begin to have sex with robots. And people every year would be like, 9 years to go, 8 years to go.
They're counting down.
They were counting down. And guess what? It's 2025. It's been 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
We are sans robots.
And we have these movies. It's like foreshadowing.
Right.
It's foreshadowing.
I mean,
it's
probably more like 10 years from now, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people do it with like dolls. They have dolls, but they're not robots.
Not right.
I mean,
right.
People are already starting to date AI. Have you seen
right.
that?
Yeah. Like the chat bots.
Yeah.
Daniela, you had a story about a family member that said that you asked if they had a girlfriend or a friend, and they were like, oh, I have somebody I talked to, and it turns out it was AI.
It wasn't a family friend. I saw it on the internet. It was.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was a friend of yours. I mean, a family. Okay, never mind.
Wait, hold on. It could be like I could be thinking
I thought
of
it was like a cousin or something.
I could be thinking of a different situation. What else do you remember from that?
That it was just you kind of like were teasing it out of them, and then they were sort of like, they're like, oh, well, it's actually the AI that I talked to. Because you were just saying, like, do you have any friends? And then they were like, well, I have this one friend.
No, I don't think that was a family member. Although I did see something where it was on the news because it ended badly. There was this teenager. He was talking to a Daenerys Targaryen AI chatbot.
Uh-huh.
And this is really dark, but the chatbot, I don't know how it got to this point, but the chatbot says, like, join me. The chatbot said, join me.
Oh, no.
And then he took his own life to join her, and it came on the news. And I think this kid was like 14, or 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And then, of course, there was a lot of discourse surrounding it. Like, why does this chatbot exist? Why were the parents not monitoring their minor, like, internet presence? How did we get here?
How did we get here?
Was the main...
This is not my house.
This is...
it's the song. How do we... It's the Talking Head song.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to segue into how good of an actress Sophie Thatcher is.
She's
in
fantastic
movie.
In the movie.
I had saw on...
You had saw?
I had seen on IMDb. Thank you.
That was such a Josh.
Got me questioning whether or not that was correct. I was like, hello?
I had seen.
Through this movie, the director had found out that she can cry from one eye on command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know.
I think that's pretty cool. I can't do that.
I can cry on command somehow.
But like from one eye.
I can.
Are we all trying to cry on command right now?
I'm not gonna cry on command because I know myself. What happens is if I start crying, I cry for at least 30 minutes, and I'm not about to do that.
We don't have 30 minutes for that.
No. We don't have 30. Well, no, and you're not gonna watch me cry for 30 minutes.
If I cry on command, I have to do like the whole thing.
No, in order for me to...
I just don't understand. Like, the only thing you could use crying out of one eye for is playing a robot.
Or manipulating people.
I would know because it's coming out of one eye. I'd be like, you're making it up.
But, like, imagine if you said something that was mean and just one tear came out of my eye.
Wait, question.
Would you not feel horrible?
Yes, I would.
I would also question if you're a human.
Hold on, question. Do you know which eye she could cry out of?
No, I think she can switch, right? Is that what they mean? That's the way I took it. But now,
I'm not sure. I just know that there was the one scene.
There's just one eye she can cry out of.
It was just like the one tear that fell.
Yeah.
And like they needed it for that specific scene.
Mm.
And I thought that was really cool that they just
reason I asked is because I'm not sure how true this is, but I know that I've seen people say that if when you cry, if the first tear drops from the right eye, it's from happiness. If it drops from the left eye, it's from pain.
Oh,
I'm not sure how true that is, though. I keep seeing that around, but it could just be someone made that up. It sounds weird. Yeah. It sounds like I don't know how that would be true, but
I couldn't cry. I could just get my eyes watery.
Yeah.
No, like the way I get myself to cry, this is going to sound horrible. I just think of every bad thing that has ever happened to me. And then it's like, oh, this thing, then this thing, then this thing. And then it's just like everything, everywhere, all at once.
My eyes watery.
It looks like you have allergies.
Yeah.
I just remember the scene where her hand is over the fire and you see like
what
that.
Scene? Did we talk about this? I don't remember this.
Wow.
Because the way you introduced it, you're like, I remember there was a scene with the fire.
I remember there was a scene. I was reminded out of nowhere.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to do that.
You know, it loops. We have to turn that off so it doesn't loop anymore.
I'm gonna turn this way now.
Well, we'll just put.
Can't escape the podcast.
You can't escape the podcast.
Can't escape the microphone.
What happened was Stephanie turned away from the microphone, and I pushed the microphone towards her.
All right, can we?
I used to say towards instead of towards. Is that weird?
Towards. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's how I pronounce it.
I used to say towards.
Well, that's fine. That's how I.
Towards.
You're putting the emphasis on the words.
I laugh because at first I didn't hear a difference.
Oh.
And I'm like, towards? I mean, yeah, you mean like wild. Towards?
So I think I
but then I heard towards. I heard the difference. Towards. And I was like, that's so silly.
Can we get to the my favorite part of the movie?
Yes.
It's when she kills him with the corkscrew.
And I'm glad you brought it up, and again, I'm fucking hijacking it. I will just be short. Yeah. How beautifully they kept setting it up.
Yeah.
And I even ordered in my notes. I was like, you know, you have to use the fucking corkscrew.
Yeah.
Because I think it was Hitchcock who was like, if you show a gun, or no, if you have a bomb under the table, or no, if you introduce a gun in a scene, it better go off by the end of it.
Yeah. What is it? Something's gun. They call it someone's gun.
Chekhov's gun?
Yeah. Chekhov's gun. Yeah.
Yes. So I loved how they kept setting it up, but like subtly so. Like it's at the beginning, then they show, and then they even put it down in front of the camera and they leave it on it for a couple seconds. I was like, if you don't use this at some point.
It's also a great looking like cork. Like it's cool.
It's cool.
It's like electric and it just spins.
Yeah. That was actually the part I mentioned earlier when my friends like put it on mute when that happened.
I figured. Yeah.
Yes. Like the crunch.
Yeah. Because in the middle, it was the end, but during the movie, like when there was that scene, like they thought it was too much, so they muted it and we just saw it.
Like, is that better? I don't know.
Like, I mean, I low-key hate it when they do that. I'm like, just let me watch the movie.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, they kind of hijack the movie.
Yeah, they hijack
it. Whoever has the remote hijacks and...
They joshed it.
They joshed it, yes.
Yep.
But that... I remember reading that, like, I had a feeling something would happen, but it's still, I forgot about the corkscrew.
I kept thinking, like, how are they going to use it? I kept thinking, are they going to pull his eye out or something? Pretty close.
Close enough.
They actually introduced it when, like, the picture of him on the phone, when it cracks, the line cracks right through the point.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Where they put the corkscrew in.
Badass. Stephanie has read the same IMDb page as I have.
Yes, I did.
That's a cool detail. I haven't seen it since March, so.
But you remember your names.
I remember the names.
We were impressed. I'm not making fun of you.
Yes. I noticed how...
Stephanie, are you going to eat your fucking donut?
It's stale.
When you left, I was... Okay, now it's good. I'm glad I didn't do it.
Yeah.
When you left, I wanted to take a bite out of it and leave it there for you. But now, since you don't want it...
It's like gross.
Gross. I keep derailing the podcast. I'm sorry.
You were saying you noticed how...
Oh, I noticed how no one... Like, we keep saying the Russian guy, and I know his name, but no one said his name.
Was it like Sergey?
Yeah, Sergey. And I was like...
He's such a cartoon, I can't take him seriously. I can't give him
a name. No, I can't. And then I didn't take him seriously until the scene where he tries to assault her. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then she kills him, and I'm like, thank God for that.
It's funny because when the cop pulls her over and she starts speaking German, he's I knew that Russian guy was up to something. He just associated all the Axis powers.
Yeah. Yes. Her German was terrible, by the way.
Oh, I
figured.
Grammatically
that.
Correct. That is true. It wasn't made up German. The only thing that they changed was that she says, in German, she says, I stabbed him in the house. And then in the translation, says, I stabbed him in the neck. Otherwise, she spoke like, the German was well written, but she could not pronounce it for shit. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah.
So, fuck her. Fuck her performance.
Oh, okay. Come on.
I'm joking.
I mean, it kind of...
Actually better than I thought it was going
to be. I feel like it kind of works because, she's a robot.
Well, no, but that's why it should be perfect.
That's why... Yeah, but I feel like when AI... I'm not saying she's AI, but when, like, AI and robots...
It's in the same wheelhouse, yeah.
When they like repeat something, it doesn't sound natural. I feel like it could work. Okay. I mean, I didn't think of that until right now, but
like, I didn't shut off the movie. I wasn't like, how dare this movie, you know, but it was just funny to me that like, it was just hard to speak it. Yeah, I guess.
It was funny. And then, I know that I can't remember how close it was.
Who eats a donut during a podcast? Unbelievable. And now you want to say something you can't.
I just saw Alex just staring off into the distance with like this look on his face and it cracked me up.
What? Like everybody's zoning out. Like,
no, I'm listening, but like I'm trying to feel like I'm listening to the podcast like if I were a podcast
listener.
Immersive. Yeah, so if you see me staring off at the wall, just don't worry.
Oh, the scene where the cop is killed, that was crazy.
Like, that was pretty violent.
Yeah. It was very violent and I was reminded of how you said it was PG-13.
I was making fun of like how you thought it was like, because I said, isn't it PG-13? And you're like, yeah, there's like two scenes that are like at the top of PG-13.
No, it's
and I'm
rated
like,
R.
This movie's just R.
It's straight up rated R. I mean, the F-bombs alone were rated R.
But
warranted.
I can remember not, I can imagine not remembering that, but like the violence was like, you know, again, it's nothing compared to Substance.
The Substance.
Okay. Anyway, there's nothing compared to the Substance, but it's definitely not PG-13.
I don't know. Oh,
you're such a you and Saul are so desensitized to violence.
I hate the MPA. I think it's stupid.
No, I hate them too.
And I don't know. I've been watching like my dad used to put on like really movies that I shouldn't be watching when I was like 8. So
I mean, me too. But yeah. I mean, I mean, you know,
the truth for everything.
Everybody.
Yeah. Although some movies are worse to show to kids than others, of course.
Yeah.
Like, because there's always rated R for language, rated R for violence, and then there's rated R for sexual content and nudity.
Yep.
That's different ballparks.
Yeah.
Yeah. In my household, it was always if it's for violence, then we're going to be concerned. Anything else, it's like, yeah, you can deal with it.
Cover your eyes.
Not we were very cool about those things. Yeah. It was just like, no.
I don't even remember.
In my house, it was just like, whatever, just watch it.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
you're here? Okay, so
meanwhile, my cousins couldn't watch Disney movies for a while.
Why?
Jeez.
I think they just thought, not because of content, but because just like TV stuff, like they didn't want them in front of a screen.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. I had a lot of friends that weren't allowed to watch SpongeBob.
Oh, I know someone who wasn't allowed.
Stupid.
Oh, dude, I watched the shit out of SpongeBob.
Me too. I watched so much SpongeBob and I'm fine, guys.
Yeah.
Totally.
And there's nothing.
Yeah, me too.
Nothing wrong with SpongeBob.
Maybe I turned out fine.
Yeah.
Are you going to make fun of me now when I say I turned out fine?
Yeah, everybody gets it.
Everyone's equal in here.
Yes, everyone's equal. I watch it too, and I'm fine.
Yeah, we're good.
Older SpongeBob is peak.
Yeah, 100%.
All of SpongeBob. Yeah, it's, I mean, like, is it still on air?
Yeah, it's still on air. And then, but like the SpongeBob from 1999 to like 2009, that was great.
That's the shit.
Exactly.
Don't forget this Friday. The SpongeBob movie at Coral Gables Art House.
So tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh.
I completely forgot.
Is it sold out already?
I don't know. I didn't check. So not sure if I'm going to go because, you know, big trip the next day. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'll go. But they're also doing Host the Planets at the Arch Center. So I kind of was, I don't know which one to do.
What is that?
Host, it was the symphonic suite.
Oh, that's cool.
Mars, the bringer of war. And so it goes through all the planets. And
badass.
It's cool, actually.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else we want to say about what's the movie called?
Companion.
Companion.
Wow. How many times will I say
we give
wow
our,
in this podcast?
Our final thoughts?
Yes. Yes, final thoughts.
All right, since I brought it up, I'll take it away. I gave this movie a 3 out of 5. I don't know if we're rating it by Pauls or by stars. I gave it 3 stars. Pauls. A good movie, cool concept. There's a lot of really good scenes and there's some gold in there. 2 really good performances from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sophie Thatcher. Shout out Sophie Thatcher. She's going to be in Nicholas Winding Refn's next movie. She's going to be the lead. The movie's called Her Personal Hell, which I love that name. Yeah, forgettable. Like, I don't think I'm going to think about this movie in 10 years, but it's good. Maybe if an AI sex robot comes out on the market, I'll be like, oh, I remember this from that one movie.
As he's purchasing it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Don't put that on me.
That's crazy.
Boo him.
The audacity.
Wait, let me make sure I press the trombone and not the applause.
Imagine you press the applause.
Oh, no. Come on.
I didn't turn off.
Okay, that's enough out of that.
It was a good movie. I say it was all right.
It was, good. Good. It was good.
It's good.
It's a good movie. There's people
it's
in
good.
It.
What are you going to do? It's good.
There's blood. What's not to like? There should be nudity, but there's no nudity. So it's not a good movie. Daniela, take it. What did you think of the movie?
I gave it a 4 out of 5
all right.
On Letterboxd. I actually like it more now that we discussed it. Like, because I think it's a very smart
Hell
movie.
Yeah.
It's a very smart movie. I think the only thing preventing me from giving it 5 stars is that I guess it didn't necessarily blow me away.
Yep, fair. That's I think that's what Alex is saying with the
yeah, but
when he buys this,
but that's
box.
Not. Oh wow. Fuck. but I thought it was very well made. Okay.
Stop putting that on. That's not okay.
It was very well done.
It's just in the background. That's not okay. Daniela, you thought it was very well done.
And I liked it a lot.
Cool.
Good job.
Stefania.
Good stuff.
I agree. I'll give it like a 4 out of 5 stars.
Mm.
I thought it was really, really good when I watched it. I still think it's really good. I like movies like this. Like, mm-hmm. I think they're labeled like feminist horror. I think that's what they call them.
Oh. Feminist horror?
I don't
horror?
Like that word.
No, me neither. Me neither.
But it's not something that I could see myself watching like over and over and over again.
I don't think it's designed for that.
No. Yeah, it's kind of.
I could watch it in another 5 years. Oh, I could watch another 5 years and go, oh, yeah, this was good. Yeah.
Like, I'll watch it when I forget most of it again.
Right.
But if I know what's going to happen, it loses its value a little bit. Because the biggest thing about it is it's like continuous shock factor throughout the movie. It's, like all the different plot twists that it has.
I know what you mean. And I've seen many movies like that. It's funny for me, like, I actually would not be that opposed to seeing it again in a sense that, like, even though you know what's going to happen, because I guess because there's so many funny bits that I would like to see repeated again. I guess maybe that would be the main reason why I'd like to watch it again. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think it's because it was so shocking when I first saw it because I didn't know it was going to happen.
You had like the best experience of all
of us.
Yeah,
when I first watched it, it was like up here. It was like a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
And then when you see it again, it's like... Well, now I know that he's I know he's an asshole. So the journey to find out that he's an asshole is less exciting.
Right.
So I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I still enjoy it. I think it's a good movie. Huh.
We should go with the Pauls. And I thought the only reason why, because if it's 1 star, it's appalling.
Okay.
What would be if it's like 4 stars?
If it's 4 stars, it's, I don't know, there's not many.
I want to say appealing, but like, then if I say Paul again, it's appalling. Still appalling.
It's appalling, yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Applause? No, that's not good. Sorry. Oh.
Because it was applause.
Yeah, for some reason.
But really what we should.
Okay, I was waiting. Yeah. I was waiting for that. I tried.
Or. Oh, that wasn't it.
No.
Where are the crickets?
I tried.
That's all we can ask.
Paul-tastic.
Yes.
What?
Paul-tastic?
I'm just.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't even make any sense.
We're spitballing.
Yeah, we're spitballing.
But it has to be at a 4. If we're using the Paul scale, it's 1 to 4, not all 1 to 5. I don't believe in 5.
So on the Paul scale, I give this 2 Pauls.
That's 2 Pauls for you.
2 Pauls.
Okay. And so out of 4, it's 3 Pauls?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 for you also? Yeah. 3 for me. I enjoyed it. I had the same thought of like, it's there. I think that's what I was kind of hinting at, where like it never quite goes big enough for it to be super memorable. But I think it's pretty clever, and there's a lot of things kind of built into it that I think would sort of work on a second watch, even though you wouldn't have the big surprise. There are these little asides, little jokes, and the details that I think would be fun to see.
I think you, even though the shock factor is gone, when you rewatch it, you might learn to appreciate it more because you notice things that you didn't notice on the first watch because you were so shocked by the obvious.
Absolutely, plot exactly, twist. Exactly. So 3 Pauls out of 5, 4. 3 Pauls out of 4.
4 Pauls could be Paulicious.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here all night, ladies. I'll be here all night. I got many jokes.
We'll get tomatoes. Sorry, that was rude.
No, it was not.
No, it was good.
Everything goes in the podcast. Yeah. It's totally okay. Okay, so Daniela, what we do... This podcast is called Watch This, which can be taken in one of two ways. You can be either, you know, hey, watch this, or watch this. So when we finish, we can now, even though we gave the stars, what happened to my voice? I think I just went through puberty.
Yeah.
sorry, that was too loud into the microphone. So we count to 3, and then we all say, watch this in the manner of what we think of the movie. Does that make sense? Was that well?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I make a request? Can you put on the robot voice for your voice?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's I think that's a robot. That's fantastic. And we'll just have regular voices because we're not robots.
Yeah. I can't be a small robot.
So yeah, maybe you can. Watch this.
Watch this.
I lost it. Watch this.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. And I'm back. I'm not a robot anymore. You should actually... You should say go to sleep, Paul.
None of us were in sync. I was like...
It was more Backstreet Boys.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It was not in sync.
I got it right away.
Thank you. Danielle is on top of things.
Yes,
She zones out while she's driving, but she's on top of things.
Hey, I never crash. I never crash. And no one crashes into me.
Good.
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 Am I saying Paul go to sleep?
We could do that at the end.
We need to pick our movie for the
exactly.
Next episode.
That's why I'm like, let's pick our movie first.
Do you want me to draw it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But please shake it up.
Yes.
I don't want Jess's pick to come out. If it comes out, we're vetoing it.
All right.
Actually, no, we're supposed to take a vote, so.
So if I pull one and you don't like it, you can veto it?
If it's Jess's.
If it's Jessica's?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Could use our executive powers.
Okay.
All right, the titles have been shuffled. Daniela is pulling out the name. She's unfolding the paper, and the answer is...
Sin City.
Fucking A. I veto.
Okay, let me put this
veto.
Here. Let me try again.
We'll Jess, put it back fucking after. A. Did she put like 20 Sin Cities in there?
That would be really funny.
All right, ready?
All right, she's picking out the next one.
Chasing Amy.
No!
Fuck no!
No!
No,
no, Jess.
We're not doing a Jessica.
Okay,
Jessica,
I'll pull one. I'll pull one until I don't find a Jessica. Dragged Across Concrete.
Yes. All right. Good. You know what's good though is that all three of us had our movie pick now.
Yeah,
because it was mine, yours, and now we're gonna be Dragged Across Concrete.
All right,
which we have to start watching now because it's like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Make sure to drink some coffee before you watch it because it's kind of really slow. We could pick another movie. How can a movie
called Dragged Across Concrete be slow?
All right, it's dragging on, if you will. It just drags on.
We could pick another movie from my list if you want. Or from,
do you want us to watch this movie? Are you excited for us to see this?
I am. Like, I saw it. I literally gave it 5 stars. I think it's a fantastic movie.
All right. You okay with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just know it's like action and like slow burn action.
That doesn't go together.
Oh, it does. It does.
Maybe it will surprise you.
Yeah.
It might. I wanted to see it originally. Yeah. It's a good excuse to watch it. So yeah, we'll stick to that.
Okay.
Okay. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed. Okay.
All right. This is America, Paul.
That's racist.
Racist. He's never beating the allegations.
I come to this country. I work so hard and I create podcasts. And you tell me. Why don't you tell me to go back to my country? What country it is, I don't know.
Transylvania.
Dracula in our podcast. Oh my gosh, I need to find a video that I saw. This just reminds me of a girl breaking up with her boyfriend and they're arguing and someone's recording them far away and he sounds like Dracula. She's like, what? And it was like, why is she breaking up with this guy? And it was a picture of the Dracula from Hotel Transylvania. He's like, why you leave me?
Oh my God.
All right.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. For everybody here, I'm not speaking for all of you. Let's all get into the microphone and say goodbye. 1, 2, 3. Let's go.
Oh,
one, 3. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We messed up. We messed up.
Goodbye, Alex.
Goodbye.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Ew.
I hate that. Wait. I hate that, actually.
No. Where's the cartoon snore?
Oh.